gentlemen, this is Gray Player. I got Julian Burton on the line. Julian, give everybody hello.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here, too. I'm happy to have Julian on the line. It is 11:15 p.m. on Tuesday.
A little late tonight.
We're putting June 26th on notice because we're getting ready to shut this down.
And, yeah, we won't carry over too far into June 27th.
Right. I think everyone hopes that. I think everyone's hopeful for that. And we're staying up late. We're burning the midnight oil just for you guys to get you this podcast, cover the latest episode of The Bachelorette, and the latest happenings in Euro 2012. And we will get to it right after this word from our sponsors. You know, Julian, I get hundreds of emails every week from listeners that are telling me that they just can't fall asleep the night before a new podcast because they're too excited with anticipation.
Gray, I'm glad you brought that up. Pre-podcast insomnia is a serious medical condition and often goes unmentioned at regular checkups. And let's face it, there's nothing worse than not getting a good night's sleep and having to slug through the next day at work.
I'm sure there are prescriptions and over-the-counter medicinal sleep aids out there, but they can take weeks to begin working and often contain very addictive substances.
Yeah, and that old wives' tale that reading before bed helps you sleep was disproved by scientists years ago. It's been shown that daily exercise can actually make it harder to fall asleep by increasing the levels of adrenaline and other hormones in the body.
Folks, the good news is that there's a simple, all-natural solution to pre-podcast insomnia, and it's right in front of your nose. Or lips, should I say.
That's right. We're talking about Sleepy Time Tea. For years, Sleepy Time Tea has been helping the world unwind with the beloved blend of chamomile, spearmint, West Indian lemongrass, tilia flowers, blackberry leaves, orange blossoms, hawthorn, and rosebuds. Gray, I'm getting dozy just thinking about it.
Me too, big guy. So folks, next time you're having difficulty heading off to dreamland, remember our good friend the Sleepy Time Bear, and let him help you hit the hibernate button on a long day. And don't forget to try all the specialty lines of Sleepy Time Tea, including Sleepy Time Extra Wellness Tea, Sleepy Time Decaf Lemon Jasmine Green Tea, Sleepy Time Sinus Soother Tea, Sleepy Time Throat Tamer Tea, and of course Julian's favorite, Sleepy Time Vanilla Herbal Tea.
Oh, I do love that vanilla herbal tea.
I know you do.
I tell you what, I just can't get enough.
Sleepy Time Tea. I know, and you're all over helping the world unwind since 1969.
You know, I've been doing the decaf lemon jasmine green tea.
All right, we're back. I need to put the predecessor out there that Julian and Julian particularly is there's a little bit of animosity right now.
I was being a little bit sassy earlier.
It could be the timing. It could be that we're late and cranky.
Yeah.
We're old. We're old men now. But I think it's going to make for an interesting podcast because I have a feeling that we're going to have some differing opinions on some things. And I think we're going to get into it.
I hope so. I hope it gets a little
something
heated.
Something that the listeners don't often get. But if you have listened to a podcast before, you are going to want to listen to this one because I have a feeling that Julian and I are going to get after one another.
I hope we do now.
We're kind of
setting it up, you know,
I hope you would shut your mouth is what I hope.
Okay, well, we don't want that much sass.
That
was a low blow.
You know what? I apologize. That's not how we want to start off things. That's not how we do things here at Navy by Nature.
No.
So, Julian, how do we do things here at Navy by Nature? Do we do things by recapping the episode of The Bachelor?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of recapping a lot of it.
Okay.
I like to have the assumption that they've seen it already.
Okay, give me a 45-second recap. Go.
Okay, there were three one-on-one dates, one group date. First one-on-one date...
Fact.
...was Ari.
Fact.
Ari told her he loved her. Second one-on-one date was John. It's pretty boring, but John thought it went really well. There was a group date. She sent Doug home in the middle of it. Doug kissed her before she sent him home, which was really embarrassing for him. And then Chris got really mad when she gave the rose to Sean. And then there was the final one-on-one date with Jeff where they played with puppets and laid down in a library and talked about families.
And the rose ceremony.
Oh, yeah. So Chris regretted...
Give me the drama.
Chris regretted how he acted when Sean got the rose. Right when she was going to give the final rose... Everyone assumed it was going to be Chris. It was between John and Chris. Chris stopped Emily, went out and talked to her, kind of apologized. She bought it. She loved it. And she ended up giving the rose to Chris and sending John home.
Excellent. Excellent recap, first of all.
Thank you.
I want to acknowledge how excellent that recap was. Couple things to talk about. Let's start with the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
Chris's interruption of when it was down to him and Wolf,
yeah.
And she was going to give the rose to one of the two. Chris interrupts, and again, there's no rules on The Bachelorette, so you know, I had the pleasure, just the sheer joy and pleasure of watching this episode of The Bachelorette with my mother.
Oh.
And my mom was like, "Oh, that's not fair. He can't do that." And I said, "Mom, there's no rules in The Bachelorette. This mm-hmm. is, we're talking about somebody finding a soulmate here.
Right.
All
right?
All's fair in love and war. We can agree with that. That's the theme of this show. Except for the war part. But the love part,
it's a war between those guys. You see how Chris said, what did he say? Like, I'll feel sorry for anyone who gets in my way or something like that?
Oh, he said, "I'm going to feel sorry for the guys if I don't get the rose on the group date."
Right. Something. Yeah. Like, that wasn't verbatim, like, either of us, but he was mad. He was going to fight
them. Meaning
somebody.
That he was going to murder them. Right. Or fight. Okay, all right, fight, whatever. So anyway, he pulls her aside. He says his piece about, he apologizes for getting mad for not getting the rose between him and Sean on the group date. And then, when we're under... The show has led us to believe that she's going to kick off either... Well, we know that she's going to kick off either Wolf or Chris. And we think that the Wolf dates has gone well enough that he might advance himself to the next round. And she chooses Chris. Did you think at all that had an impact on her decision? That she switched?
Yes.
Okay. Completely disagree with you. I think you're an idiot.
Go. Why am I an idiot?
Because it's there's no way that has any impact on her decision.
I think it does, because she always has held on to the fact that she wants people to open up and she wants people to tell her how she feels. And Chris hadn't really done that yet, and he was being a little bitch, to be honest, when he was with Sean. She's not going to like that kind of thing. And so I really do think that she was going to give the rose to John. I don't think she thought John was going to make it very far. But I thought that she was, like, in fairness, she was going to be like, John deserves to be here for one more week. Chris hasn't shown me anything, and so I'm going to send Chris home.
I'm going off of her reaction when Chris takes her to the side and starts talking to her, and she's just so, like, affirming and affectionate. She's like, "I'm so glad that you brought that up. I really appreciate it."
Yeah.
I mean, she made her mind up and, like, I just don't think that something that small is going to sway her decision.
I don't think it was small. I thought it was actually fairly significant for him to apologize and take back what he had said.
Well, I didn't hear what he said because of a weather warning here in Raleigh, North Carolina during The Bachelorette. So what did he say at the end of it?
He said...
he apparently got really mad.
He didn't get mad. Oh, wait. Are you saying what he said... when he talked to Emily at the end, or what he said when he was with Sean?
When he's with Sean.
Oh, he didn't actually say anything when he was with Sean. He just acted really mad.
Yeah. Like a little child.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, you know, we get no cocktail party. She knows what she's going to do. She has her mind made up.
So you think she's still choosing Chris at that point?
I think at that point she knows she's kicking off John. She's still choosing Chris. When Chris takes her over, it further affirms, like, she's like, "I'm so glad that you brought that up." But I don't think that there's no way that would have swayed her from one
thing
to the other.
I think it did. I think she was pleasantly surprised when Chris interrupted her, and she was like, "Oh, thank goodness, I'm going to have an opportunity to keep Chris around because I don't have to kick him home for being a little bitch earlier."
If that's the case, then the difference between John and Chris has to be minuscule.
No, I don't think it's minuscule. Like, I just felt like she didn't think Chris liked her that much.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
She needs the affirmation. She needs it.
I know. He gives it to her earlier in the episode.
No.
In the alone time.
Wait, be more specific.
Okay, he complains about not getting enough alone time with
her. Yeah, well, he's showing bad character at that point. I don't think that's being
affirming. I agree. I don't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, the other guys are basically telling her that they love her and, like, sneaking away to be with her. And she's like, and he's like, why didn't I get a one-on-one date?
Okay, okay. If that's your measure for how, if she's going to choose someone, then John clearly has to be last on the list. Clearly.
Well, right. I think it was between those two. But because John was so slow moving, he wasn't being annoying about it. He wasn't being a sore loser. He was just slow moving. So she was like, I'm going to give him one more week to be fair because he hasn't done anything wrong. Whereas Chris has actually done something wrong at this point.
I don't think in her mind that she registered it as like, oh, I can't believe Chris acted that way. They don't even mention anything like that. And he's just, like, super nervous, so he wants to bring it up. And I think it's just a nice thing. She's like, oh, that's very nice. But she knew she was going to kick Wolf off anyway because she just doesn't have a romantic connection with him.
No, she doesn't. I think – I agree with you that I think she wants – that. Okay, I agree that she did not have a romantic connection with Wolf. I don't think she wanted to send Chris home. I just felt like – she felt like she had to until he apologized.
If there's one thing I know about Emily – God, I can't believe that I actually just said that. It came out of my mouth. But I'm going to roll with it. It's one thing I know about Emily. She doesn't just do stuff because she feels like she has to.
What do you mean?
She's not going to keep John around because he was more
Well, I don't
like,
feel like she feels like she has to keep John around. I feel like she thinks that's fair. And she feels like she hasn't gotten enough out of Chris. And then he was showing bad character. And she doesn't want that around Ricky Tick.
Not even start about Ricky Tick. She's choosing four guys at this point that she think might actually have the possibility to make a future husband for her.
Yeah.
And she absolutely does not have that romantic sentiment with John. Which I think she know.
Yeah.
No. Even if you're saying that she was going to keep him around just to be nice as a formality because he wasn't as bitchy and whiny as Chris, I think she came into the rose ceremony, she knew who she was going to kick off because no romantic connection, no possibility of a future there at all, and she did feel a little bit of that with Chris, even with her limited time with Chris, that him stepping out and telling her that, if it did anything at all, only solidified her decision.
I think it affirmed.
I think that you fell victim to good editing.
No, I think it affirms. I mean, I certainly agree that I'm feeling what they want me to feel. I know right. that. I know. I'm not gonna argue that point because that was obviously what they want you to.
And we talked about this last week, the Ari and the producer thing.
Right. Well, the previews are the worst teases ever. The previews always get you.
What did you make of how they handle that? Because they don't actually show them talking about that. They just say that they had the conversation.
That was weird they had the first one on camera and the second one
right.
not.
It's weird,
really
right?
Strange.
It's like,
yeah.
She doesn't trust him. Like, but, okay, here's another thing. Like, both, like, I was like, no, why would he even bring it up? It's like, why is he, it's not, he's not hiding it. Ari's not hiding
No, he wasn't.
Her.
Ari, I think we're going to agree on that point that Ari didn't do anything wrong up
right.
till that point.
But my mom, from a woman's perspective, again, we don't get this because we're two men. She was like, oh, he definitely should have. If you're withholding truth, it's the same thing as lying to her face. And I was like, Mom, he dated this girl 10 years ago.
Yeah. Once they said the year, the amount of years, I was like, okay.
They talk about them dating for like a period of like weeks, maybe days even.
They definitely describe it as very brief. So
extremely
they probably
brief.
Like hooked up once.
Right.
And then like texted for 2 weeks and then they fizzled out.
And then maybe hooked up one more time like when they were both drunk. Yeah, I mean like we know how that works. So not personally, but you know what I'm talking about. So why would he feel like the need? Like, first of all, that producer probably doesn't even regularly work on the show on site.
Yeah, we know nothing about the producer.
Yeah, they probably were like, oh crap, there's this girl that works for ABC right. that Ari hooked up with one time. Let's make her a producer for The Bachelorette. Let's put her on site for this one episode. So
yeah,
that
that's true.
That is just so like, and the way that they talked about it, and Chris Harrison gave us a recap of like, well, yeah. they talked about it, and everything was fine. The end. Right. I mean, it's so dumb. So dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Julian, here's what I want from you. I want so let's conclude. Doug, I think she made the right choice in kicking off the wolf. I think the wolf. The wolf
no, I think
upset.
So too. I think so
we
too.
We get no tears from the wolf. We were right in that prediction. We're also right in our prediction of Doug leaving. Humble Doug goes.
Really Ryan. Naive, Doug. I didn't realize quite how naive he was about the situation. But
here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Is Doug the Bachelorette contestant with the least amount of game ever?
No, the guy with the mask.
Jeff?
Yeah. That guy had no game. I mean, that was as naive as you could be, thinking that that mask was a good idea.
I don't know, man. I mean, like...
No, but I mean, as far as normal guys go, because Jeff was kind of an anomaly. Not Jeff, but Jeff.
Jeff was... I almost think Doug was an actor. I almost think that Doug was an actor that they put in place.
No, I feel like I know guys like Doug. Jeez. I feel like he's a type of guy that I know.
The no game type.
Yeah.
The no strategy of understanding anything about connecting with a woman type.
Right. And and he just had a hard time, like, when the guys teased him... I mean, we talked about that the other week. I mean, it was just like, he didn't accept the fact they were just joking around with him.
God, I wish, I mean, even if Emily had seen him get mad at one of the other guys, it would have been better than the way he was around her. It was miserable.
Yeah.
Like, when Doug goes home, and I watched Doug's cab confession.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was going to cry, and so I wanted to watch
it. Well, I mean, you had to. It was the next thing.
You had to. Yeah, I mean, like I skipped Travis's last week because he's gay. I watched Doug's this week because I knew that he was going to say something ridiculous. And Doug was like, the one thing that Doug said that kind of caught me was when he said, like, man, I want it so bad for Austin. Like, I want that family. I want a family so bad for him. I want, you know, that family. It's a dynamic.
Right.
And the first thing that I thought was, yeah, I want Austin to have a father figure in his life, because Doug is obviously not providing that.
A father figure?
No, right.
I mean, okay, that's harsh.
It is harsh, but I think it's true.
You know, why do you think he's not providing a father figure? Because he has no game with girls?
That guy is the biggest...
He obviously had enough game at some point to impregnate a female.
All right, that's a valid point. That's a very valid point.
But I feel like it's just because he's not good with girls doesn't mean that he's not good with his kid.
That maybe is the best counter argument you've ever brought up on a podcast.
Thank you.
But seriously, this guy is the biggest wuss I've ever seen on The Bachelor. Bachelor, whatever.
Are we saying wuss? I don't think
I want to say some other things. I want to equate him to a female reproductive organ. But I'm not going to do that because this is a clean podcast, PG rated, families.
See, I'm not sure about that argument. I think he's a lot of things.
The guy apologizes when their legs touch when they're sitting together.
Yeah. I don't know if that's... You think that's being a wuss, though, or just being awkward?
It's being a wuss.
I think it's just him not knowing how to act. I feel like if someone told him what he needed to do and gave him some advice and he felt confident that was going to work, I feel like he would do it. I don't think he'd be a wuss about it. I just feel like he was awkward and just doesn't know how to act around girls.
I mean, let's take out the scenario where someone explicitly tells him what to do.
Yeah.
Okay? The dude is just... Okay, man. Like, regardless... I don't think our 2 points are mutually exclusive.
No. Probably not.
I do think that he is a giant wuss. I think he's the person with the least amount of any kind of semblance of analysis of how a female is feeling and comfort around like, he needs a woman that's just going to completely take charge of him.
You think?
Oh, absolutely. A woman.
I feel like there's women that are so soft and so sweet.
Oh, I know. And then Austin's going to grow up and he's going to just have two.
But that's who I see him with. Like a girl with no, like, strength, no, like, independence. Just kind of like really happy.
I know, you're right. And they're gonna, I mean, and the greatest thing for Doug is that he's on The Bachelorette now. And now there's going to be women that are going to seek him out.
Mm-hmm.
Women that are like, oh my God, he's so sensitive. Like,
yeah.
He would be such
a
great
kid.
He would listen.
He's really mature. He's really old.
And I'll give him as much time as he needs to like feel comfortable enough to like
and to touch my knee.
To be sitting within 6 inches of me and not apologize for accidentally grazing my leg under the table. It's just like, oh, heavenly day, Doug.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, I mean,
the knee thing was like that. I think that was the last straw.
And he got up. He was like, God, oh man, I got up all this confidence to kiss her right when she was getting ready to send him home. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna kiss her. And he kissed her, and he's like, I'm sorry. Like, Doug.
No, I mean, it was funny in the car when he was like, I guess my girl radar is just way off.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, that is the one, like, right thing that you've said, or, like, good observation you've made the whole time you've been on The Bachelorette.
Sometimes you just gotta push a woman up against the wall and kiss her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. You're
our
right.
Our two front runners have done it.
Yes. Yeah.
They've asserted themselves.
As long as you don't go across that line and become a Ryan, because she didn't like too much of it.
Well, no, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you have to show both sides.
Right.
You have to be very, like, you have to listen. You have to be sensitive. I mean, you have to, like, show that you care emotionally about someone, but also, like, show that you care enough romantically that you can take charge of the situation and assert yourself. Assert your romantic position in the situation. Doug, God, I'm so frustrated with Doug right now.
Oh, I was like, I mean, he was on his way out anyways. I didn't really get too emotionally invested in
his
demise.
I'm over it now. I'm over
but
it
I was
now.
Gonna
I
ask
need,
you.
I needed a second.
No, I mean, that was sometimes you just need to
ask
vent.
Me. Hit me. Ask me.
Do you feel like, I agree with everything that you're saying. Do you feel like Jeff is kind of the odd one out of the last four now? Is he the,
no.
So
let's
you.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
First of all, let's make a couple notes. I sent you this message over text when we were sexting earlier. We were texting, just regular text messaging earlier.
I was like, did he mean to say sexting?
do you think that she knew how to pronounce the city Prague before they went on the show?
I mean, it's not hard to pronounce. Oh, you think she would have said Prague?
No. Do you think she knew that a city named Prague?
I think she probably had heard the name before, but didn't know where it was. That was my best guess. Like, I don't think she could have said the country.
Do you think she had trouble pronouncing it when they were like?
If she'd just seen it written.
If she'd just seen it written, do you think
she
knew she
would have said Prague?
Is it Prague? y'all are giving me all these hard words. I don't know how to pronounce.
It's possible.
Y'all
never know. I can never tell how smart she is.
Why? Y'all are sending me to all these Eastern European countries.
How smart is Emily, Gray?
Here's the thing. here's my take on Emily, okay? She ain't book smart.
Okay.
But she's very savvy. Especially when it comes to relationships. And we saw that with Brad. When Brad tried to... Brad was like...
Well, she didn't see it early enough with Brad.
Here's the thing. When Brad went to meet Rikki-Tikki, he was like, I've got this plan. He didn't say it, but he had this plan that was like, I'm gonna say, listen, I don't want to kiss you in your own house with your daughter here.
Right.
That was his
plan.
I
remember that.
And
yeah.
And she was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I want a man who wants to kiss me right now. The kid is in bed. He was like, no, you're not understanding. Like, you don't understand. What I'm trying to offer you in this situation. He was like, you don't understand. Like I'm how thoughtful and generous, and like I'm supposed to be getting points for like not wanting to kiss you in your ass. And she was like, I don't care. Like the kid is in bed. I want you to kiss me. I want my husband. So I think that she's smart about men. I think that she's smart.
I think she's fairly smart.
I just don't. Really. I don't. Book smart. Prog smart. Probably low.
Yeah. I don't know where she went to school. So, she went to school. I don't know.
Anyway, folks. So, let's how awkward are these dates when they, go to random cities and, especially, the wolf date. Like, they go to random cities and they're, driving around looking at buildings. You and me. I'm the bachelorette. You're the bachelor. Okay. We're on a one-on-one date, right?
Yeah.
I'm this is me. Oh, Julian, I thought it'd be really nice. We took a bus ride around the city of Prague. And just kind of guys. And then we're on the bus ride. Go ahead, go.
Oh, look at this building right here. Look at that. Steeple. It's really tall.
It's so old.
Yeah, so what century do you think this stuff was built in?
I don't even know. It was so far back. It's I don't even know. I mean, can you imagine all the people that have seen this?
All the people that just stood in front of this one thing before.
I know.
And looked at it, just like we're doing.
Just like we're doing. It's crazy.
Man, I want to go to the top of that tower.
There's another building that's really old.
Oh, yeah. I love the architecture in this city.
Right? I mean, this is stupid. It's stupid. Okay? Yeah. I don't like it.
No, it is... I mean, because they have to try to promote the city, I guess. So they'll be like, the producers are like, say something about the city. Say something about those buildings. Like, oh, yeah,
really
that building
old.
Over there.
It's really old. See, they really. No, we've already agreed that Czech Republic has paid a large sum to be sponsored, to be promoted on the show. So they want to get their money's worth.
And they didn't want to get ripped off like Croatia, like where it ended up being a Scottish theme.
Scotland. Scotland saw a boost in sales, and they were like, what the heck happened? We didn't do anything. All these people are buying, plane tickets to Scotland and reserving, seats to go see the Highland Game reenactments. Like, what the heck? We didn't do anything.
All the message boards are like, I love the week where they're in Scotland. And Croatia's like, no! They were in Croatia.
Well, you saw what I read on the picture on the podcast website. Croatia, trip back in time to Scotland.
Okay. I did. I really liked the one before that, where she said, "What the Netherlands?" Yeah. That was really funny.
Well, we like to tie in our two topics. We did this week. We probably won't do that as much. Although I will say that my top four is still alive, both Euro and Bachelorette.
Yeah, wait.
Chris was Italy for me.
So I don't even. What did I do with my top four? I have Doug?
I think
we ended up agreeing on our top four. Saying Doug is out.
Yeah, you had Italy as Ryan and France as Chris. But, I mean, just by the way that the brackets were matched up, you wouldn't have been able to have a
wait, I was just thinking about... So, okay, you're still trying to combine them all. I was... just in terms of Bachelorette, I think I had Ryan in my final four.
Originally?
Yeah.
We need to go back and listen. I should have done that before. I'm sorry. We should have gone back and looked at our original Final Four. I think we all had Ari, Sean, Jeff, and then Jeff. It was just one Jeff, and then just one floater.
I think I had Ryan as my fourth.
I think I had Chris.
I think you did, too.
I think
too.
I had Chris in. Last week, I picked it, and all those Euro picks went through as well.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good about that. Is Chris done? Does he have any chance?
Well, I have one theory that kind of brings in. This is getting into predictions here, and this is going to talk about a couple of the guys.
Are we done talking about the summarize? I mean, are we done with our semantics? Let's get into the stuff, the real stuff, the meat of
the predictions.
Our predictions and yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think so. So I think Chris right now is number four. He's the four seed going into the stay-at-home dates. What is it? Go-home dates?
Home dates, yeah. Hometown dates.
Hometown dates. But I have a weird feeling that there's going to be something odd about Jeff. The way he talked about his family, his parents being out of somewhere for 2 years.
His youngest daughter being in China.
Yeah. I just feel like there's going to be something weird when she goes and sees Jeff's family, which is going to move Chris up in the ladder.
Oh, so you think Jeff is You mean I think that something weird
might happen with Jeff and he's going to go home.
Okay, all right. At purely after this date, without anticipating what's going to happen in the next day, where do you rate Jeff?
Behind Sean. I put Ari 3 after this last one. Jeff's date was pretty killer.
I'm going to agree with you on that. I have had some people tell me that they didn't think that it went really well. They thought it was awkward. I thought he killed it.
I think so, too.
I think
she loved it.
She absolutely loved it. Jeff is like, he's so different.
Yeah.
And then we've said this, that he's like, she doesn't think that she's cool enough to be with him.
Right.
Because he's like different and trendy, rides skateboards and whatever, like owns his own bottled water, nonprofit, whatever. So, but like, it's the way that she talks about being with him. She's like, oh, I'm so nervous around you. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm so nervous around you. She's like, oh, I could totally see myself walking into his office and seeing pictures of our family there. And then, like, and Jeff tells her in his puppet show that he's falling in love with her.
A million times in love with her, but then he doesn't say it.
Well, he says it in the puppet show, but then he doesn't say it in person. He says, right, that I really like you.
Yeah, that was strange. I noticed that, too.
He's still leaving that goal, that, like, deliverable, that, like, thing out there that she wants, that she doesn't have yet. She has it from all the other guys. And
well, Chris, arguably, but really definitely Ari and Sean.
Well, I mean, I think Chris is just a sign of emotions, and just the way that he handled that situation, I think that she knows that he is, like, you know, basically on his knees begging to be kept in the competition. So, I mean, like, that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, there's no chase there. There's still a chase with Jeff, a little bit. I think that she likes that.
I think that's what I see him as different from the other three a little bit. I feel like he's the oddball. Yeah, I put him at two.
I'm putting him in Ari 1A and 1B.
So you still put Ari above Sean? Well, you put both of them above Sean.
Put both of them above Sean, and I think it comes down to how they. Eventually, I think it comes down to who goes and meets Ricky Tick, and then how they hit it off.
I think Sean is going to just be so much more of an adult and a man with the kids. I think Ari and Jeff are going to be really cute with the kids. I think Sean is going to be the perfect example of what she wants.
I don't see that from Sean. I don't see that. Like, I don't see him being like a man and being like an authoritative fatherly figure. Like, I think he's just as much like, kind of like immature as the other guys.
I'm not sure.
I just think he's bigger physically.
Well, he's definitely bigger, but I don't think it's just his look. I think he's got more of a firm personality than Ari and Jeff are super sensitive.
I don't. He goes running around the streets of Prague trying to find her. I mean,
but just the way he talks and stuff, Jeff is really quirky.
I know what you're saying. I don't get it from him. I don't get it from Sean. I don't get that vibe that he's like, oh, like he's the serious father figure.
I don't think he's serious. That's not what I mean. I just feel like he's going to be one step up in terms of adult kind of provider type than Ari and Jeff. Especially Jeff. Ari, I'm not as sure about, but I think Jeff, I mean, she describes him as a kid, and I think that's how he's going to appear. Which maybe she'll love it, but I think she's going to end up wanting a Sean.
I think that she ends up, like, understanding that that's not practical. I think she ends up going the practical route.
And like, getting Sean?
Comes down to, or an Ari.
You think Ari's practical? See, I don't see that from him at all.
More practical than Jeff. The way that she talks about Jeff is different than Ari and Sean.
Especially
Sean,
when his family ends up being, like, a bunch of Mormons or something. I kind of think it's going to be something weird like that when she goes and sees Jeff's family.
That's true. They could be Mormons. That's true. It's from Salt Lake City. So, yeah, I think that, like, this idea of, like, just, I think the idea of, like, Jeff being this kind of, like, still kind of, like, this chase to get him, and then him being, like, a big kid to dad, like, fatherly figure, and, like, she talks about, like, like him, like, not being able to be a disciplinarian, but, like, that's the arguments they get into, and they're cute arguments and stuff like that. I think that she ends up being like, that's really nice, and that could be, that's fine, but, like, I need to go with something that's more
real. Yeah, and I agree with you, and I just think Sean wins that battle. I think it's the same argument between Sean and Ari, and I think Sean wins that one as well.
So you'd agree that in that sentiment, Ari and Sean are a step above Jeff.
Yes.
And that you think Sean edges Ari out.
Yes.
And, I mean, to be quite honest with you, Sean's just physical demeanor of being bigger, like, more well-built, like, kind of more of a rock-solid kind of guy. I mean, that could be enough to push him over to win. I still think Ari wins. I mean, I still think that she's... I still don't, because only because Brad was that kind of guy.
Yeah, but Sean, I don't see a lot of similarity between Sean and Brad.
So what do you think? What do you make of Sean's? First of all, he's running through the streets. You know that they tell him where she is.
Obviously she knows because she's walking by herself.
Why is she walking by herself in the streets? Why is no other in soul? Any person in Prague?
Yeah, no. I mean, that was totally the producer's thing. And how would the other guys not know that he did that? I mean, I guess that's possible, more possible than the other stuff.
Literally no one else on all the other streets of Prague. you know that he had to find her eventually, so they had to be like, "Listen, she's over on 7th and Broadway." So you just
she knew
to, like,
he was coming.
And, look, can you just run down a couple of these streets so we can get some shots of this? Yeah. I mean, that had to have been a nightmare to shoot because they were just like, this is so stupid, but we have to... So...
Unless it was their idea.
Honestly, when she saw him and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you, I kind of thought it was just appeasing him. I didn't think she was genuine in her comments about being really happy and excited to see him.
I think she was... She might not have known that it was going to be Sean. Maybe she just knew it was somebody.
I don't think she's that into Sean, man.
Really?
Just the way that she talks about him, like, I just don't think she... Like, she's just never, like... She doesn't ever seem to break down that wall and have, like, a genuine comment about him.
Yeah.
Like, I get the feeling that, like, everything that she says, like, she's like, oh, he's such a nice guy, and like, oh, I'm so happy to see you, and I missed you, and, like, but it's always like, it's not like, oh, you know, I'm so happy to see you, I miss you. It's always like, hey, I'm happy to see you, I missed you.
No, I mean, like, she said, like, something about, like, she wanted to see him more than anybody else.
Yeah, but that. I mean, she also says to Ari, like, if this keeps going the way it's going, I'm going to be really, really happy.
Yeah, you know well, I mean? He told like, her that he loved her, so, I mean, she has to say something.
Yeah, but that was a genuine comment. It wasn't a line that she fed him.
I don't think so either, but I really think that if she had to choose right now, she wouldn't be able to. I don't think she'd be able to choose right now.
Yeah, and we get the preview that she's going to be very indecisive. I actually think that she might not send anybody home next week.
I think she's going to send Jeff home. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a Mormon.
Yo, you think the family thing's gonna kill him?
Yeah.
Bold prediction. I respect that.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar to our Italy England PK prediction. It's very specific.
If you're gonna make a prediction, you might as well go specific. And we'll make some shortly. We probably should move on to that soon, but we'll make some very specific Euro predictions in a little bit.
So right now, let's just recap. Right now, who do you think's? Do we have anything else to comment on? Anything else that's ridiculous? I mean, the Jeff day with the puppets is ridiculous. It's sweet that he went back and bought a puppet for Ricky. It seemed genuine to me.
It did. It seemed like she thought he had to, like, go to the bathroom or something.
Right.
And he, like, ran away. She was like, oh. Right.
I bought into how much they connected on that date. Like, lying on the floor, looking at the ceiling, talking about kids. I do think that she eventually, like, realizes that that's kind of, like... 16-year-olds.
Yeah, she's having a summer fling with Jeff right now. It's a summer fling.
Exactly. It's high emotion, but there's not a lot of depth there.
Right.
Right. I think that she realizes that later. I don't know when that is. If he is, if he does have a crazy family situation, I think that's sooner rather than later. So I agree with you, and I like that. It's bold. I like where you're going with that. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But right now, without thinking about next week, you're ranking Sean first, Jeff second, Ari third, Chris fourth.
Yes.
Okay.
That is my ranking.
Without saying that Jeff is a summer fling, like, if you don't say that, I think he's up there at number one right now.
You think she's more infatuated with Jeff than she is with the other three?
At this right. current point in time.
Okay.
But that's why I put him as 1B instead of 1A, because I think that... He's number two.
He's number two.
Okay, fine. So Ari's one, he's two, Sean's three... They all meet Ricky. I think those three all meet Ricky, and she makes the decision.
You don't think Chris meets Ricky?
Well, that's the other thing. Is I just said that I don't think she kicks anybody off next week because I think she's too weak to make a decision about that.
Oh, Ricky's not going to be there?
No.
Right. She's going to their houses. I'm embarrassed. That's on me. I'm sorry.
So we've got Jeff and is it Utah? We've got Chris in Chicago. What about Ari's in Scottsdale, Arizona? Where's Sean?
Texas, Sean? I think. He's from Texas.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll put on her Southern accent for that.
She played football at Kansas State, I saw.
Oh, you found that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good football program.
Yep. No joke.
Good football program. No joke. They're a great Division I program. Big 12 program. So, okay. So next week, who's getting kicked off?
Chris.
Chris or nobody. Those are our two options.
Chris.
You don't think...
Oh, no, I think Jeff.
Okay, that's what I'm... Like,
I forgot about my whole theory. My whole conspiracy theory.
What about the rare occasion where they choose to kick off somebody that would have been further down the line now?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they don't have to. I mean, like, she could be like, this week I'm going to figure out who it is between Ari and Sean.
I mean, that's too bold a prediction for me to make right now. I already am going out on a limb with the Jeff.
And quite honestly, I think that the way that they interact with Ricky is going to play a huge factor, and I think she wants to keep those three around for
that. You might be right.
But I also think that she might want to keep Chris around for that.
Yeah.
Because we see the previews that there's indecision there.
Right.
So I'm going to go on a limb just to be different.
Okay.
Because this is the podcast. And I'm going to send nobody home next week. I think that Sean's hometown date will probably go the best.
Okay.
I don't know if that matters, but I think that's what's going to happen, and I don't think she sends anybody home.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't think she has much romantic connection with Chris, but for some reason she's extremely indecisive and she can't. Or maybe the preview is the week after that. Maybe it's the preview for the week after that and she doesn't know who to send home between the three.
Yep.
But I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that she doesn't send anybody home and she invites everybody to come meet Ricky. That it's
I'm going to go out on a limb as well and say Jeff gets sent home.
So the easy answer is Chris goes home, then neither of us are picking it.
Yeah. We'll see.
So.
We will see.
Let's move on. It is now officially July 27th. June 27th. Mm-hmm. And, today, on this day, we got Spain, Portugal. First of all, let's just recap our predictions from last week because I feel
is that not Thursday? Like
gloating a little bit about that. Are you with me?
Yeah, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here now.
Okay.
All right, we got a little bit of a delay, folks. I apologize again. So we predicted, Portugal to win 1-0, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In the quarterfinal. We predicted Germany to blow out, quote, basically score more than three goals against Greece,
yep.
Correct? We predicted a cagey match between Spain and France, with Spain winning 2-1, kind of. Like, they scored two goals, France kind of sneaks one in.
Yeah.
It ended up basically 1-0, but with the PK at the end, which made it 2-0. Yeah. So that's pretty close. And then we predicted Italy beating England in PKs, which was bold and dead-on accurate.
Yeah.
So we're feeling pretty good about our predictions right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling as good about our predictions for this coming week. Not that I'm not feeling
I feel like we just need to redo them all. I think we just need to start, because we've seen one more game of football, you know, and I think now is a good, I think it's okay to kind of reassess at this point.
No, you mean for the mm-hmm. games that are coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. I think I feel less confident about knowing what's going to happen.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Next,
I'm sorry.
In these next semifinals and yeah. final. We'll have a semifinal and then a final before our next podcast. So, it's tough. We've got the Iberian Peninsula border war between Spain and Portugal. And it's like, yeah, I mean, Spain shut down a couple good French. Let's talk about that game first.
Okay.
So, Spain, we saw against France, shut down a couple of very capable French forwards, French attackers, which is what Portugal has. But Portugal has it in a little bit better quality. In Cristiano Ronaldo and Nani on opposite sides.
Yeah, I mean, okay, a little bit better quality. I mean, a lot better.
So a lot better. So then a lot better quality.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? So it's like, is France or is Spain capable of kind of holding down or, like, you know, keeping those guys under wraps so that they can score their one or their two goals? Because I think we can both agree that they're not going to score three or four goals in a game at this point in the competition.
No, I agree.
They're going to have, like, great plays where they score, you know, one or two good goals.
Yep.
I think that's their limit in a game, is one or two very nice quality goals.
And a lot of the time, they stop trying to score goals. I mean, they basically are defending by attacking. They're defending by holding the ball. You know, that's just their style. And
it's death by possession.
Yeah. I mean, you get 70% of the possession. It's really hard for your team to score. So.
But what happens if Cristiano Ronaldo scores an early goal?
I mean, I think Portugal is going to beat Spain.
You do?
Yeah.
It has that written on it, doesn't it? Don't you just feel that way? Don't you just
I do. Feel I feel like that's where the momentum's going. I feel like Portugal is much more capable of getting a goal than Spain. Because Portugal's defense isn't even bad.
I think they're very similar. I don't think you can say Portugal is more capable of getting a goal than Spain.
I think they are. I mean, Ronaldo is a much more potent goal scorer, and they're going to have a number nine playing unless Spain starts Torres. I feel like, no, I think Portugal is more capable of scoring a goal than Spain. I'm going to say it.
So what's your prediction? You think they're going
to? I think Portugal wins 2-1.
2-1. You think Spain gets one? Portugal gets two.
Yeah.
Does Ronaldo score both?
I'll say he gets one of the two. Since we'll be specific.
To be specific. I don't. It's hard for me to disagree with you. I kind of think I see this one coming down to penalties. To be honest with you. I just don't. It's because I just can't. I just see them as, like, I understand that Ronaldo is a tremendous goal scorer. Okay?
It's not even just Ronaldo.
I mean, I know, and then, like, if you focus on Ronaldo, Nani's on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and then they're attacking forward. What's it, Hernandez?
No.
What's his name?
Well, the striker,
center forward. It's escaping me.
Wait, it starts with a P, but he's hurt. They're playing the second string, the big guy.
Yeah, what's his name?
It's not Alves.
Oh, Danny Alves.
No, there's the Bruno Alves is their center.
I saw Danny Alves in the Messi, like
Hugo Almeida. Charity. Hugo Almeida.
Almeida, okay. So...
And then Postiga, that's the one with the P that that's not
Postiga,
playing.
Postiga, that's what I'm talking about. He's not playing? Okay.
No. He's injured. He hurt himself in training, so Almeida is starting.
What are these guys doing in training to get hurt?
I mean, playing soccer, I think?
Like, I mean, it's like...
I think they, you know, they're just playing soccer.
How many people get hurt in training before the NCAA championship games?
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a better way to manage those training
how
sessions.
How many people get hurt before the season starts
at an NCAA Pro-Am basketball? I know, playing in the Pro-Am. Les McDonald's playing again. He's playing again.
I know.
The rosters came out today.
I saw them. Okay, let's not get on that. Let's not get on that. So Hugo Almeida is a big. He can get his head on the ball. They'll play three up top with Ronaldo on the left.
I understand, and I think they'll attack. And I think both teams will probably be at like 70% attack. And if a goal breaks, then it's going to be wide open. But I still think that it ends up tied. I think that I kind of think it goes PKs.
Okay. It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
In PKs, I think that I can see Portugal going through in PKs.
Okay.
Just for drama's sake.
Okay. So you have Portugal beating Spain in PKs after a 1-1 tie?
Either 1-1 or 2-2.
Pick one, specific.
Okay, I'll pick 1-1.
Okay, and I have them regulation time, Portugal winning 2-1.
Yeah, I'm gonna change. I'm gonna go Spain PKs.
Oh, okay. So Spain wins in PKs after a 1-1 tie.
Yes.
Okay. So let's move on to the other side of the bracket.
Great game. Well, first of all, Julian Burton reporting from Tallahassee, Florida, with a sullen heart.
Yeah.
Because good old England bowed out in the way that we predicted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. It's tough, but they weren't the best side.
They were not.
That doesn't ease the pain. That doesn't ease the pain because and they played that style.
Yeah,
I think if they would have played the way that they played for 10 minutes each half, yeah. Where they were supporting the attack and like having the defense push up and close that gap between the mid and having the midfield support the forwards that are receiving the balls, that they would have crushed Italy.
I mean, I think it would have been a very even game if England just was confident enough to pass the ball out of the back through the middle, and they weren't. They just started kicking it forward.
Do you think that was a result of them being scared of the balls that Italy was playing over the top of the defense?
No, because they're going to have to defend that either way. I think it was just them on offense. Italy had more men in the midfield, and they didn't feel confident. Playing through the midfield and playing short passes through them, and so they played it safe.
But they
and
did it. They did it. They did it.
They
well
did it at the beginning. I agree.
Each half.
I'm not saying they're not capable of doing it. I'm saying they weren't confident enough to do it, and they just kicked it long. And the chances of winning that ball with enough support to make anything out of it, slim. And it happened probably twice. And
That's why they should have played. They should have stayed playing the way that they were playing in those 10 minutes.
I agree.
Do you think it was fatigue? Do you think fatigue played into it?
No. No.
You don't think
I don't think it was fatigue.
Like Steven Gerrard, any of that, like when, you know, we're tired, like we can't make those sprints up and support the attack.
Maybe in 90th minute, but it was like that from the 15th minute on.
Well, they were talking about fatigue before the game. They were talking about fatigue the 30-minute mark of the game. I'm saying it because the commentators were talking about it.
Well, they were talking about it a lot going into the next game. That it was going to be a huge issue.
No, but they were also talking about that England looked tired. They looked fatigued.
They shouldn't be.
I know. They're. Steven Gerrard.
No, I mean, maybe you're right. I mean, maybe they were tired, but I don't.
Steven Gerrard is the Doug of European soccer.
No, don't say that.
I'm just kidding. I love the guy. Probably my favorite player right now.
I'm not a huge Gerrard fan, but.
I love Gerrard.
I don't want anyone being compared to Doug like that. But let's move on from that. It was what it was. Italy deserved to go through, and if England had made it through on penalties, the only thing I will say, how cool was Joe Hart in the penalties? Just talking so much junk,
yeah. Swagger, and yet he didn't save any.
He didn't save any, but I mean, it didn't work, yeah, but it was just cool to see.
The two Ashleys, Miss PKs.
Yeah.
The first one that went off the bar. That's a backbreaker, man. Like, you can't. Anytime someone steps up and just kicks the ball as hard as they can, it never works out.
Yeah.
It always.
He might. I mean, he probably changed his mind. You know, as he is.
What did you think about Pirlo's PK?
I mean, it was incredible.
World class. Guys, I mean, the dude was great in that game.
He's always been great.
I know. I mean, it's not like it's a surprise. I'm just acknowledging that he
was. No, he's incredible.
Great dude.
He won. I mean, he was. Without Pirlo, Italy would have been playing like England, probably.
Your best player of the game in that game?
Oh, easily. Okay. Easily. I mean, England's best players were John Terry and Julian Lescott because they just blocked shots and just over and over again.
Sacrificed their bodies. It was like watching a hockey game. Yeah. And the other team was on the power play and they were just laying down and blocking shots. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. They played their hearts out.
England was content to give them shots from the outside like that. It's fine. Yeah. And it worked. They just didn't support the offense. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's move on from that. Let's go to the other side of the bracket.
Germany, do you think that Italy's attack stands a chance against Germany and their defense stands a chance against... I mean, Germany is just a very fluid team, the way that they play from defense to offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like if you have a great attack...
They're direct, but they're not a long ball team. They're very direct on the ground, I should say. Yeah, no, I think Germany is much better than Italy. I think Germany wins this game 3-1 with a late third goal. So I think it's
I'm with you 100%. I think that Germany is good. I think Italy. Their style poses a threat here to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that Germany wins this game handily. I don't think they even look as strong of a team. I don't think they show a performance where it's like, man, Germany is unbelievable. Right? But I do think that Germany gets two goals in. I think that Italy scores one.
Yeah.
And I'll agree with you that they get a late third goal when Italy's pushing. I'll agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Germany is very, I think that they're on their front foot a lot. I think that they're opportunistic. I think that they'll take the opportunity late in the game when Italy's pushing forward to score a third goal.
Yep.
That'll kind of seal it. So 3-1, we're predicting 3-1 from Germany, Italy.
Yep.
We're both predicting that.
Yeah.
So then here's the thing is that I've got Germany, Spain.
Yeah.
And you've got Germany, Portugal.
Yeah.
Give me your Germany, Portugal.
Germany wins in PKs.
Wow!
2-2. 2-2 regulation, and then extra time, and then Germany wins in PKs.
You think Germany's defense is that bad?
No.
Or you think
but they're Portugal's, not that great either.
But you think you think it's a combination of that and Portugal's offense being potent?
Yeah. Yeah.
My man, that is strong. My man.
We don't even know if Portugal has to get by Spain to even, from my prediction, to even hold any weight.
But for this, I mean, like, for the purposes of this podcast, we have to take our assumptions and then go with them.
2-2, and Germany wins in PKs.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to predict on both of our predictions for the final.
Okay.
So, you said Portugal... What did you say? Portugal wins in PKs?
No, Germany wins in PKs.
No, over Spain, though?
Portugal, yeah, wins. It's 1-1, and then... No, I said Portugal wins in regulation 2-1.
2-1, and I said Spain wins in PKs 1-1. Yeah. Okay, so... All right, so in the event that Portugal goes through...
Yeah.
Germany... They're playing Germany.
Yeah.
Germany's coming off of a 3-1 defeat on our assumption over Italy.
Yeah.
I think that you're saying that you think that Germany that's 2-2 in regulation and Germany wins in PKs.
Well, yeah. So 2-2 after extra time, right? Regulation and extra time. No goals in extra time and it goes to PKs.
Right. If Portugal, okay.
Portugal beats Spain 2-1, as you're assuming.
Yeah.
As you're predicting. And Germany goes through 3-1 against Italy, as we both predicted together.
Right.
Germany wins the final 2-0.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. I think that Portugal has blown their proverbial wad and by beating Spain.
Okay.
And they don't have any magic, any trickery left to pull anything out.
So we both have Germany winning that game.
Yes, but I have Germany winning that game in regular time.
Sure. Okay, so now let's go to...
What's Germany's record in PKs? Are they a good PK team?
I'm not sure. I feel like they are, but I don't know why.
Well, God knows they're better than England. They have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty bad.
Okay.
So now let's go to yours. You have Spain winning.
Spain squeaks it through. They win in PKs on Wednesday. And they know they're
it's not the first
Sunday.
Game is tomorrow, not Thursday.
It's Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. And they play Germany on Sunday.
Okay.
For the championship. Yeah. Spain has just moved through on PKs.
Yes.
And they're playing Germany, who's won 3-1 against Italy.
Yes.
So it's all right, sorry. So it's so hard to predict that because it's not hard to predict. I mean, I think Germany wins. I think Germany is the stronger side. I think not only are they the stronger side, I think they've looked the stronger side. I think they've felt the stronger side themselves. I think that they are in a run of confidence, and I think that they've responded well to when other teams like the Netherlands have scored first. I think that they're a complete team in every aspect. I think that they're the deserving team, and I know the deserving team doesn't always win, but I think that they are built to win this championship.
Yeah.
I think the only way they lose is in PKs.
Okay. So what's your score?
So in the event that Spain moves through via PK, I think that Germany I'm going to say 2-1, but I think it might be more. I'm going to say 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to say Germany 3-1 over Spain.
Okay, so for solidarity, because we're podcast partners, I'll say 3-1 too.
Okay.
Because I think the same is... I wanted to say more. I think that Germany has more...
I was tempted to say 3-0, to be honest. I was tempted.
I think that Spain gets one. I don't know when they get one. I don't know if it's 1-1 and then Germany scores 2. I don't know if Germany goes up 2-0, Spain gets one, and people start to react, and then Germany gets another. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of think the second scenario is most likely. Germany's up 2-0. Spain grabs one to get a little drama. There's a little drama then. And then Germany grabs the third one, and it kind of caps off everything.
Okay.
So,
to recap, we both have Germany winning. You have Germany beating Spain 3-1, and I have Germany beating Portugal in penalty kicks.
Penalty kicks, right.
After 2-2. Yep.
Okay. All right. In the event that Spain advances, you also have Germany beating Spain 3-1.
Yeah, but I don't like that making predictions for the games that I don't really think will happen.
We're not going to have a chance to get together and predict based on what happens in the semifinals. So if Portugal goes through, like you said, 2-1, right? You said 2-1?
No, penalties. Portugal beats Spain.
I guess. Then you have Germany beating Portugal in penalties.
Yeah.
And I have Germany beating Portugal, I think I said, 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0. Okay.
Okay.
And we both agree that Germany goes through Italy 3-1.
Yes.
Okay. Our predictions are cemented. I finally saw the Balotelli overhead kick goal.
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed.
It wasn't the best ever kick goal I've ever seen.
No. Rooney's. Has to be Rooney's in the EPL.
Rooney's would have been amazing if he scored that overhead kick against Italy.
It's the most beautiful bicycle kick I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Pirlo, best player of the tournament so far?
Ronaldo.
He has scored some big...
And he's hit the post like 4 times. I mean, he could have like 8 goals. Pirlo is up there. Pirlo's up there. David Silva, I think, has been really good.
I love David Silva. I think he's like Pirlo, but just the Spanish style of Pirlo.
He's a little different. I feel like he plays a lot shorter game than Pirlo. Pirlo really...
Well, that's what I mean. Spain's game is short. Spain's
game but Xabi Alonso, for example, is a long ball passer. Or that's what he's known for. I know.
Well, I'm saying, like, in the same way that Pirlo is, like, the perfect setup man for Italy, I feel like David Silva plays that role.
Well, no, I would say Xabi Hernandez does. David Silva is more of an attacking midfielder than Pirlo, I think. He's kind of right behind the striker.
I know. I just feel like he's always playing the ball that sets up.
He does get on the ball a lot, but Spain is a different team than Italy. I mean, David Silva is certainly a creative midfielder, just like Pirlo is, but I think they're pretty different in their styles.
Okay. Best jersey of the tournament so far. Best jersey of the Final Four.
I guess it'd be Portugal's.
Portugal's whites.
I like the whites.
Here's the thing I don't like about their whites. I don't like how the cross goes all the way down vertically into the crotch area. I would like for it to gradiently disappear there and leave some white space.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was... We can bring it up afterwards. We agreed to do a Euro competition based on uniforms.
We can go back and run a whole new bracket with the jerseys.
A whole new bracket.
Even though it's not as fun after the tournament as before.
Well, what else do we have to do till the Olympics start?
We have, Wimbledon?
Yeah, we'll cover Wimbledon. I watched Andy Roddick today. Did he win? I don't know if he did or not, I watched a little bit of it.
I don't know.
We got more important things to cover. So, anyway. So we're good. We'll see what happens. It's been a pleasure. As always. I wish we had the opportunity to watch the games together tomorrow, Thursday, and Sunday.
Yeah, me too.
But it'll be fun. It'll be fun regardless. So
yeah, I might have to just watch it at work.
I think I'm going to do the same for the Germany game. I have the crazy German lady who works at our office who sits in the break room and screams regardless, so I know what happens no matter what because I can hear her from where I'm sitting.
What do you know if the other team scores?
Yeah, because she just starts cursing.
Okay.
So, she'll just be like, oh, yeah! Oh, what a goal, yeah! And so I'm like, all right, so Germany scored. And then, she'll just start cursing if the other team scores. So I was like, I might as well just take my laptop into the break room and sit with her and watch the game.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do that on Thursday, so.
Nice.
Folks, we hope that you tune in and watch the Euro Cup games. We hope that you tune in on Monday for the hometown date episode of The Bachelorette, and we certainly, more than that, hope that you tune in next Wednesday for our coverage of the aforementioned events, as we will be breaking down the European champions, whoever they might be, Germany, and the remaining contestants on The Bachelor, whoever they might be, probably all 4 contestants that are still left. So... Julian, why don't you send us out, buddy?
Thanks again for listening, everybody. We love you all dearly. Every single one of you. Those in New Zealand. Those in Raleigh. Those in Florida. Those all over the world and beyond. Have a great week. Stay tuned.